Hello and welcome to the American Magazine podcast for the week of December 12th. And this week we're joined by America's new president and publisher, Father John Schlegel. Welcome, Father Schlegel.
Thank you, Tim, very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, first, Father Schlegel, I thought you could just introduce yourself to our listeners and our readers who may not know you and your previous time in the Jesuits.
Well, I'm born and bred in Iowa. I'm one of six children. My dad was a truck driver. My mother's a day worker. They gave us great gifts of faith and education. And I joined the Jesuits at the age of 20 after 1 year of college. I think I'm a member of good standing in the Wisconsin province. And although I entered the Jesuits primarily to do teaching and perhaps missionary work, I ended up spending 40 years in university administration, which was not my first aspiration, but the skill sets and the opportunities were such that it did present a very good and challenging set of opportunities. So I have spent 40 years on five different Jesuit campuses, being a dean or a vice president or the president of the University of San Francisco for a decade and the president of Creighton University in Omaha for 11 years. So my baggage that I bring to America is basically that of the academy, both on both sides of the desk, as a teacher, as a faculty member, and as an administrator.
So maybe you can describe how you kind of came to the moment where we are today, how you came to decide that America was the good next step for you.
Well, I think when the board of directors, myself at Creighton, decided that 11 years was probably going to be enough, this was 2 years ago. I had agreed to sign up for seven originally, but time just gets away. So I finished 11 years, and at that point, I had a sabbatical lined up by both the university and the province, and I had the opportunity to investigate a variety of new opportunities, new ministries or works, and I thought seriously about going pastoral full time, and I still have that deep desire to do that. But this particular position surfaced. Tom Smolich, who's the head of the Jesuit Conference, really thought that America Magazine could use some of my time and some of my skill sets. And so that's basically how it got here. It was really the Jesuit Conference, our editor, Drew Christensen, and one or two other folks really sort of put a full court press on me to say, this is the place for you for a couple of years. I was hesitant. I must tell you, Tim, I was hesitant. Moving to New York and somebody who likes the outdoors and being outdoors a lot. The one saving factor about 106 West 56th Street is two blocks in the park, and that does give me some time to be out and commute with God's nature.
Yes, in fact, for many reasons, America is a very desirable destination for Jesuits visiting or staying because we're so close to Broadway, etc. But for people like yourself and also our editor, Father Drew, who loves the outdoors, writes about it often in his Of Many Things column, you are kind of cut off a bit.
Exactly.
Now, what skill set from your kind of tenure in higher education, are you hoping to bring to America? Maybe the contacts you've made. What are your plans so far?
Well, I think the intention of putting the president and the publisher together, as far as our strategic plan is concerned, which I have not been a part of, and actually not even previewed it. But I think the things you're looking for, at least three of them come to mind. One is board development. The board at America is very young. It has yet to really define its parameters of jurisdiction. It has to be a little more strategically composed, both in demographic and in gender and in backgrounds. And so that'll be one of the topics that I know Al Pierce, the chairman, wants me to spend a lot of time on. Secondly, there's a whole area of implementing the strategic plan. Again, I am not privy to that. It's something that will evolve out of the September next year board meeting. It'll be sort of my responsibility to help implement it. I think a third thing that I know is very important is to develop a fundraising capacity for the organization. Like a lot of small Catholic not-for-profits, our fundraising is done rather haphazardly. and I must admit, although numbers can distract you, I have over the last 20 years brought in excess of $800 million, so a variety of institutions. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to make the ask, But I do have to, as you know, it is a question of making friends before you, do fundraising. And so I spend a lot of time nurturing relationships.
And as you referred, America is going through a bit of a transition period here. Just in the last few years, launched the new board of directors. has the strategic planning process in place. Part of it is kind of moving from a model where pretty much there were all Jesuits on staff to having a mix, having a... And in some ways, America was kind of old-fashioned in that it had almost all Jesuits up until about 10 years ago.
Right.
So what are the lessons of a Jesuit university, which has been working with lay people for a long time, that perhaps, you know, could be applied here?
Well, I think that's a very good question. I think there is no doubt that lay Jesuit collaboration is the future of all of our ministries. And I think a place like Creighton, where we have spent a lot of time and a lot of energy, a lot of resources to get the lay faculty and staff on sync, on same page, part of the Jesuit charism, sharing the legacy of Ignatius. That's, I think, the fate of all of our institutions. And this one in the print media is probably even more important, because there's a lot of talent out there that the society does not have within its membership. And I think that's one of the things I am looking forward to, is to begin to integrate a little bit of what the publisher president does with the editorial side of the house. Not to get in there and dictate editorial policy or anything like that, but more to see that there is a common set of values that is permeating through the entire organization. And I think that's something that I have done effectively in times past. I'm a great team builder and a great nurturer of the culture which I'm a part of. And that's sort of one of the things I'd like to see what could be done here.
For those who are not familiar, for pretty much for most of its history, the editor-in-chief of America kind of acted both as kind of pseudo-publisher as well as the editorial director. But it's become clear over the last, I'd say, 10 years that those are really two different jobs. There's a lot of work to fundraise and you develop contacts, all of what you've described.
Yeah, and at the same time, you have to have a keen eye on the marketing and the advertising side of the house as well. None of us operate in a vacuum. The financials are a piece that we all have to be cognizant of, be you a writer, an editor, or a subscriber for that matter. And that's, I think, one of the things that I found tremendous cooperation already, that everybody seems to acknowledge that that's something that has to be looked at very closely.
And of course, too, there's the new media revolution, which I'm well aware of, and what we're working on. This is for all publications are going through this. So in addition to the, you know, switch to kind of Jesuit-led collaboration, you're also going from print exclusive to kind of the print web collaboration.
Exactly, exactly.
So there's a lot going on there. And you bring some background in that, too, because Creighton has a very good record of kind of new media experimentation.
We do. Our online ministry, is extremely effective, the Daily Reflection, the online retreats, the streaming of all the major talks on campus, all of that has been very much high profile for us.
Now, I know you've been a reader for America for a long time, but maybe you can give a sense of how you've connected the magazine in the past and how you hope to kind of shape it in the future.
Well, I'm a great believer that the intelligent, reflective Catholic needs to be fed intelligent, reflective material, be it about the church or about the politics or the social scene. And I think America has done that across the years. One of my great hopes is that we can really answer, I think, a need that I pick up from college campuses and colleagues, and that is a little more spirituality. There's a tremendous hunger out there for spirituality, and spirituality that is related to the trends in our culture and our society and our politics. I mean, the issues of poverty and the issues of global warming and the environment, all of that, that all has a spiritual side to it. A lot of our friends and colleagues pray about these things and think about these things and write about these things. So that's one of the things I've been told by more than a few people, that if I could bring that message to America House and say, let's see that as part of what we're already doing. It, of course, we're already doing it. We're doing it very, very competently. But it I think, can be expanded, deepened, and enriched.
Well, that's helpful, because you see a need there from working with students wanting some of this,
right?
And that this is something we can provide.
Well, in the letter I'm sending out to our donors in a couple of days, I say my two objectives as I go forward is to reach that next generation and to connect the youth of this country with their religious tradition and the social justice tradition of the Catholic Church, and to keep up with technology. And I like to think they're, and you would agree, they're very much intertwined. We're not going to do one
Absolutely.
Without the other. We're not going to reach the next generation without technology, and we're not going to do either without support from the external community. So that will be one of my key foci as we go forward.
Yeah, and as you kind of referred to, the need for community among young people who are perhaps leaving a tight-knit college Catholic community and looking for a place where that shares their values. You know, I know for me, America and magazines like it helped serve that need. So I think there's definitely a role for us.
No question about it. I'm notorious for taking copies of America magazine into the gym that I worked out in for years, reading it and leaving it in the book rack. And I'm also very pleased to come and occasionally see a student or a faculty member picking it up, and I would walk by and say, oh, I didn't know you read America. And their comment was, it's the first time, but you know, it's sort of interesting, Father.
Sort of interesting.
I'm a subversive, subversive for the cause.
So you mentioned some of, obviously, development's going to be a big part of what you do, and also kind of the new media front. Are there things you're hoping to explore in your role as publisher?
Well, I think, I think board development is an extraordinarily important piece for us and for our future. And I'm speaking with the chairman of the board next week about that very thing, how he wants me to go forward to develop the board. It's a small board at the moment. It's been shedding members for a variety of reasons. I think we want to get it up to 12 or 14 in the next year and a half if we can. I'm a great believer in diversity on a board, both geographic, so it has to get sort of away from the East Coast, where right now it's heavily represented, get some voices from the Midwest, some directors from the Southwest or from California, and bring their attitudes and their dispositions and their skill sets to us here. So that'll be part of it. And I think the diversity piece, men and women from different backgrounds, and also the gender piece is going to be very important for us as well.
Well, that's something that you certainly bring, and you mentioned a couple times, is, you're from the Midwest. You've worked on the West Coast, in the western part of the United States for most of your career. America, one of the knocks against America is that, it's too New York-focused, it's too Manhattan-focused. So that you're kind of a fresh voice for us.
Yes. Well, I think it is too New York-focused and too Manhattan-focused. Too much of the 212 is in there in the zip code. But, that is one of the messages I brought from the hinterlands. But, this is not a reversal of the old New Yorker going west to civilize the rest of the country. This is just bringing some good common Midwestern sense, back to Manhattan.
And we should take advantage of this Jesuit network that we have.
Absolutely.
That
absolutely.
Is not just in, obviously we're heavily concentrated in the Northeast in many ways, but we're also, all over the West as well.
No question about it. And what you're specializing in, namely the media, just takes us there.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's ways to make those connections in a way that, when they found in this magazine, there was no way to do it. And it's also interesting when you look at the history of the magazine that they tried very deliberately to get representatives from the various provinces on the staff, because they wanted it to be representative of Jesuits throughout the United States.
Well, I think that's something that's perhaps lost, that this is a national, what we call the assistancy-wide ministry, that America belongs to the Jesuit Conference, and that it historically has had representatives from all nine provinces either writing or being stringers for the magazine across the years. And I think bringing someone in from the outside to fill the position I'm filling at the moment is another way to address that need of getting a new set of lenses looking at the old product.
Well, we're talking just before Thanksgiving, and we're moving into Christmas. You mentioned you're putting out a letter to some of our donors and readers. Is there any other message you'd like to share with them as we're entering the holiday season?
Well, I think, given all of the issues that are out there, challenges within the Catholic Church, within the broader community of the United States and the global arena, there is nonetheless a lot to be grateful for. And I think gratitude is just a very important aspect of anyone's mental health, be quite honestly. I think the grateful person is the person who can look at the world with a much clearer sense of purpose. And so that's my great message for Thanksgiving is just to be grateful for what God has given, family, friends, enterprise, resources. If you have the opportunity to share, that's all the more important. But I think just be grateful and just let the big guy know that you are grateful for the gifts he gives us.
Well, just yesterday there was an article in the Times addressing some of this, how it's actually good for you to express gratitude.
I agree completely.
Yeah, and it was very Ignatian in a way when you read it. Well, this is something we hope you will continue to share with us. Some of the wisdom that you've shared on the Creighton websites, and continue to do podcasts and some video commentaries as well. So this is just the beginning of our conversation.
I look forward to that, sir.
Well, Father John Schlegel, welcome, and thank you again.
Thanks, Tim, very much.